Good morning, all. Happy Friday. Here we go. Here we go. The weekend's almost here. But we got work to do today. Take your Bibles out of your pews in front of you. Turn to page 820. Find Mark chapter 8, verse 29. Put your finger on it. If you don't have a pew Bible, your own personal Bible, your smartphone, I love it. I love it. The technology, Hannah, I see it. Good. Hey, as you're doing that, let me just remind all of us where we're at this year. We've been traveling through the Gospel of Mark in our chapel and gathering services. And if you think about the Gospel of Mark, you can generally think about the Gospel of Mark in two sections. The first section of Mark consists of chapters 1 through 8. And in those 8 chapters, Mark over and over and over again, through Jesus' baptism, his healings, his casting out of demons, his mighty deeds of power, his preaching and teaching, Mark is confirming in these 8 chapters that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And it climaxes in verse 29, which you have your finger on, in verse 8. Jesus is with his disciples, and he asks them the question, who are people saying that I am? And they respond by saying, some say you're John the Baptist who's come back to life. Others say you're Elijah. Others yet still one of the great prophets. And then he says this to them in verse 29, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, on behalf of the rest of the disciples, says this, you are the Messiah. Now, many biblical scholars would say this is a hinge point of the Gospel of Mark, meaning that it divides the first section from the second section. And the first section, to give us a little visual, would be, yeah, Boersma's got something today. All right. The first section could be seen and titled as Jesus' Identity as Messiah. And now we're moving into the second section of the Gospel of Mark, which is Jesus' Purpose of Messiah. And that's what we're going to focus on today and focus on the rest of the semester in chapel and gatherings. Now, as we travel through this second section of John, we're going to be using a tagline or a theme line. And this is what it is. The tagline is this, following Jesus on the way. You're going to hear that over and over again throughout this semester. Following Jesus on the way. So with that context, keep your Bibles open. Don't shut those things and move down 2 verses to verse 31 of chapter 8. And this is where we're going today. All right? Hear the word of God as we follow Jesus on the way. It says this, then he, Jesus, began to teach them. Now let me stop there. And then he, Jesus, began to teach them. Does that line strike you as kind of odd? It does me. Because what has Jesus been doing the last 8 chapters in the Gospel of Mark? He's been teaching his disciples. So why does Mark use that line? And he began to teach them. Well, I think Mark is being intentional with that line because I think he's signaling a change or a shift of direction in Jesus' teaching. It's like Jesus is turning a page to the next chapter of what he wants to teach his disciples. And this is what he teaches them as he continues on. He teaches them that the Son of Man, the same, i.e. Messiah, must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Whew. Jesus lays out the new curriculum to his disciples, and it's a tough curriculum to swallow. For the first time, he's saying the Messiah has come to do what? To suffer, to be rejected, and ultimately to be killed. This isn't the Messiah that the disciples, and especially Peter, has been expecting. I mean, messiahs don't die, do they? The only messiahs that die are false messiahs. And Peter has all kinds of visions and thoughts of what the Messiah should look like, as did the other disciples, as well as most Jews in that time. For they thought the Messiah was going to be one who would come, as the prophet said, and defeat evil, defeat injustice, and bring about God's kingdom as the Messiah would ascend to the throne of David. And so their expectations of the Messiah is a conquering Messiah, a military Messiah. I mean, that is a Messiah who comes with power and strength and force. It boots out the Roman pagan rule. It cleanses the temple, the religious authorities who had corrupted the worshiping life of Israel, and bring justice and peace to the nation. That was Peter's agenda of what a Messiah should look like. That was Peter's expectation of what the Messiah should look like. And so he takes Jesus aside, and it says it strongly here. Peter rebukes Jesus. He's basically saying, Jesus, you're not working out of my agenda, my expectations of what the Messiah should look like. And before we're too hard on Peter, let's all just say, that's me. I mean, how many of us want Jesus to be the kind of Messiah that works out of our agendas, our expectation, our wants, our needs, our dreams, our lifestyles, our whatever? I mean, come on. Don't we all do it? I think we do. I do it all the time. I mean, even as I'm thinking of that and saying that right now, I can clearly see in my mind of a time within our family that I used Jesus to get what I wanted. My prayers weren't, Jesus, your will be done. It was more, Jesus, would you do this so my will can be done? Sound familiar? We all pray those prayers. We use Jesus in a way that meets our agenda. And the agenda becomes the end, and Jesus becomes the means. And if that happens, let's just acknowledge it. We are just flat out using Jesus. But Jesus says, I will not be used. And as you follow the text, he takes Peter and he rebukes Peter. And he says, Peter, I'm not working out of your agenda and your expectations. I'm working out of God's agenda and God's expectations. So, following Jesus means following Jesus on his terms and not our terms. And as I look around and as I talk to different people, aren't there so many versions out there of what Jesus is and what he came to do? And most of them support our own human agendas and expectations and dreams and desires. And Jesus, like he did with Peter, he does with us. He rebukes us and says, I stand against those because you do not write the story. God writes the story. And if you're going to follow me as Messiah and trust me as Messiah, you're going to follow me on my terms and not your terms. Tim Keller, in his book, King's Cross, does a great job of talking about this. And he says this: if Jesus is to be the Messiah, or Keller uses king, you cannot make him a means to your end. You can't come to the king and negotiate. You lay your sword at the king's feet and say, command me. If you try to negotiate instead, if you say, I'll obey you if, you aren't recognizing Jesus as king. But don't forget this. Jesus is not just a king. He's a king on a cross. If he were only a king on the throne, you'd submit to him just because you have to. But Jesus is a king who went to the cross for you. Therefore, you can submit to him out of love and trust. This means coming to him, not negotiating, but saying, Lord, whatever you ask, I will do. Whatever you send my way, I will accept. When someone gave himself utterly for you, how can you not give yourself utterly to him? Taking up your cross means for you to die to self-determination, die to control of your own life, die to using Jesus for your agenda. Following Jesus on the way isn't always easy, is it? But I think the first step to following Jesus on the way is to acknowledge that we have to surrender our agendas to Jesus' agenda as Messiah. Because Jesus' agenda was to come and die as a ransom to give life for all of us. So, the starting place for all of us is to surrender our agendas, our expectations, to Jesus' agenda and expectation. And when we do that, we orientate ourselves, we get ourselves pointed in the right direction, in a posture to follow Jesus, the Messiah, who has come to give life. Let us pray. God, thank you for the truth of your word. And Jesus, thank you for how patient, how kind, how generous you are to each one of us. You gently discipline us sometimes, but sometimes you firmly discipline us, and we need that. So God, thank you. By your Holy Spirit, gird us up to follow you on the way. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let it be done. Amen. Go in peace.